Welcome to Christ Today. Heavenly Father, on this last weekend of National Preparedness Month, please bring to our mind how we can be prepared for faithful service to you in our mind and our body and our spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Looking back in time, one can say that things are always the same, or one can say that things are different. It depends on your outlook. Another way of seeing the two different sides are to say that life is always a wonder and it's a joy, or life is always a problem. Well, it brings to mind Elizabeth Elliot, and she said, "We can expect pain and suffering in life." Well, what's dominant for you? So much of it depends on our own outlook, on what we see, and brings to mind a study from about 35 years ago. It said that an outside observer would observe a person's life and say that 53% of it was good and 47% of it was not good. And there was a range of about 4% up or 4% down that would determine a person's view on whether life was wonderful or if it was painful. So I have pondered that ever since, and I've just kind of wondered what the real answer to that is. Are people's life really that close, 53%? Good and the rest not so good to an outside observer? Well, I think we have choice in this. We have our own outlook to see what is going on in our life. Do we have a positive or a negative attitude? And the biggest part that I see is, do we have the joy of the Lord in our life? That is so important. And we can learn more about our Lord Jesus in the Bible. It's a good thing to read and to seek understanding of it. One of the things in the Bible that I see is that there are consequences to the choices that we make. So do we choose to believe in and obey God Jesus? Or do we choose to believe and follow anything else? And that includes the desires of our own heart and not holding on to the desires that he gives us. So there's consequences to what our choices are. And the more we go through life, the more we mature and we have spiritual understanding of the things in our life and our relation to God, Jesus. And I think of how some people are so busy with life that they just don't have time for God. It's all a matter of choices that we make and consequences. I think of Luke chapter 14, 15 to 24, and that is the parable of the Great Supper. I'll read that. Now, when one of those who sat at the table with him heard these things, he said to him, "Blessed is he who shall eat bread in the kingdom of God." Then he, Jesus, said to him, the listener, "A certain man gave a great supper and invited many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to those who were invited, 'Come, for all things are now ready.' But they all with one accord began to make excuses. The first said to him, 'I have bought a piece of ground, and I must go to see it. I ask you to have me excused.' And another said, 'I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I am going to test them. I ask you to have me excused.' Still another said, 'I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot attend.' So that servant came and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, 'Go out quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city, and bring in here the poor and the maimed and the lame and the blind.' And the servant said, 'Master, it is done as you commanded, and still there is room.' Then the master said, 'Go out onto the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say to you, that none of those men who were invited shall taste of my supper.'" Maybe you can tell me how this lines up with Romans 10:9, which reads, "If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved." And how about John 3:5? Jesus answered, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." Do you wonder if one of these verses is more true than the other? How can these verses be completely true? Well, let us pray to God and ask him for his understanding, because really it's only his understanding that matters, and we're trying to search out and understand what God is speaking to us through his written word. I'm glad I'm not a church pastor that tells you what this or that means. I try to seek out the understanding too. There's a lot that I don't know about the Bible, but I seek understanding, and I think the biggest thing that we can do is to pray. Oh, well, look at what what the Bible says, read it carefully, and pray before, during, and after. And that is our best understanding that I can get to have a fuller understanding of Bible truth. So that's what I encourage you to do for your life, for your understanding. After all, you are responsible for your own salvation. So I urge you to pray and to read. Ask God for understanding. Pray without ceasing, like it says in 1 Thessalonians 5:16. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Jesus Christ for you. Speaking about praying, I want to tell you a story about God answering prayer in the fires of Northern California. This was just a week ago, Oh, but I'll go back 2 weeks, 2 weeks or so ago, when the fires were first starting in California. There were way too many fires and not enough fire crews. So some of the fires were left to burn and get bigger and bigger. The fires near populated areas were manned with firefighters. But this fire was not near a populated area, and the fire kept growing and growing and growing. It burned up forests and grasslands to a crisp, to ashes. But a young man in his late 20s had recently bought a stretch of land, and he had a dream to farm and to raise cattle on the land, and eventually a family. And then there was this fire. It burned and it burned. And there was a big concern that the wind would make flying embers go everywhere. Well, at first, the forest fire was 10 miles away. And then it was 6.5 miles away. And then 3 miles away. And then 1 mile away. Throughout all this time, the young man told his church about his concern, about the fire, and the church prayed. The church prayed and prayed, and they prayed that the house would be saved. Now, a week ago, the fire raged, and on the Cal Fire map, it showed that the fire was all over the property and on every side. There was fire for several miles. Well, after the fire raged and went through, the young man just had to go and see what was left. 3 days after the fire, it was still hot, smoking, and burning, but he could go and see, and he did. And oh, what destruction he saw. He saw the little fence around the house and the small orchard. And it was a miracle of God. The fire stopped at the fence. The house survived. Oh, thank you, Lord God Jesus, for your miracle. Thank you for your mercy. And what a testimony this is to a praying church, to a praying Christian people. The fire burned everywhere, all on all sides of the land. It burned up the property, too, that he has. But it burned right up to the fence, and then it stopped at the fence. It did not burn the house, and it did not destroy the little orchard trees near the house. This is a testimony to God and prayer. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you for a praying church. Now, the property had a lot of destruction on it. It destroyed equipment, an ATV, a great four-wheel drive truck, and a beautiful 12-year-old John Deere backhoe with a bucket. Those things could not be saved. The fire was so hot. Oh, it melted aluminum. It melted the glass. And the tires were completely burned up on all those vehicles. What destruction there was. But we thank God for what he preserved. That's the thing. Yes, we thank God for what he protected and preserved as we prayed. We give thanks to God. Yes, and a praying church and other praying people. Awesome. It's awesome. And all of these things were uninsured because the insurance companies do not write insurance for property that is not within an organized fire district. That tractor was a big loss. So if anybody has a four-wheel drive tractor they want to contribute to a decent young man, Christian man, it sure would be a nice thing. Anyway, I'm so glad to tell you the story about God showing mercy to a praying people. It's a testimony. Fire right up to the fence, flying embers, but still the house was not set afire. So, Lord, thank you. Praise our Lord God. This young man had been doing plenty of work to abate the fire damage for 2 years, but it wasn't enough. So I know it could be used as an example for us to see, too, that we can prepare just as well as we can for the just in case. Will it be enough? God knows the answer. But I think we can always remember we want to be prepared for the just in case, because things can suddenly hit us. And there are thousands of people who have been affected by the fires in California. Thousands of people. And there are many natural disasters that affect thousands of people also. Severe weather, hurricanes, all sorts of things. So let us continue to pray. Prayer has a big effect. So let us be faithful to God and pray. We have a lot to pray for in this world, don't we? There's so many people with difficulties. So many people need to have the mercy of God in their life. Well, they need God in their life first. So that's something that our prayer can always do, is to reach out to people who are unsaved, for one, but also the people who are faithful to God. They need prayer too. That's something we can always do for the people we know and the people we don't know. Pray. This preparedness month, I do think of preparing, and it's just about over this month. So amidst all that is going on around us, oh yes, with the virus and all sorts of things, there's so many reasons to pray. So many people need prayer. You know, half the small businesses are closing their doors forever this year. It's over half, but we are in for such an economic change in America. America is going to be different next year. So many people are saying that normal life will never, ever return to America again, that we are going to have a whole new paradigm, a whole new pattern of living. But I like to look at the things that will never change, and that is God, Jesus, who never changes. That can be our stability in life. Certainly, we have our desire for our wonderful eternal life, that never changes. But here on earth, things do change. We go through so much of everything. And so our preparations for spiritual are different than they are in physical. So I like to remind everybody to let's have a few preparedness supplies, like a passive water filter of the big Berkey style, for instance, and a variety of food, for in case there is a natural disaster event. They are happening. Definitely they are. The fire has affected so many people. And in the last few years, there have been fires in many parts of California. I think back to 1989, the Loma Prieta earthquake in the Bay Area. 15 seconds of shaking took down many overpasses, caused electrical outages, and many of the stores were so shaken that their shelves emptied onto the floor, and they took a few weeks to reopen. Well, many people during that earthquake could not even get to work because the overpasses had fallen down. I do remember that there were many, many kind people at that time also who would share what they had during a time of crisis. Wonderful, kind people. They were concerned and compassionate. After a few weeks, though, some of the bad behavior returned. There were robberies and burglaries at the normal levels after 3 or 4 weeks. But people will behave very differently in different natural disasters. And it's a part of what we are prepared for, the things that are wonderful and the things that are not so wonderful. It helps to have a little attitude towards both. So we do live in this earth, right here on this earth, and we see the patterns that are going on around us. Patterns all through, well, everything. You can look at the day-to-day patterns, and you see there's a pattern of the days getting longer or shorter with the sun. In our part of the country, in our longest day of the year, in June, there was 15 hours of sunlight. And on the shortest days of the year, in December, there was just over 10 hours of sunlight. That is a little less than 2 minutes a day, every day. So we can sense that difference, but it's not so immediate. That's a pattern, and we can have other patterns that we pay attention to also. That's a part of understanding what we would be wise to do in life. We can see big things happening in the world too. Again, patterns, changes. Wherever you look, there might be in Jerusalem, that's a pattern, or in our church, that's a pattern. Changes in the world, changes in society. Sometimes they're sudden, and sometimes they're subtle. Often enough, things do hit us suddenly, though. And we wonder, why don't more people have an attitude of preparedness? Because the changes happen too slow or to somebody else. But someday it might be your turn to be hit by a change. So have a look at preparations. Do what you can now. Yes, it might be a fire. Yes, it might be a flood. Or it might be a simple flat tire. Small or big, things happen in life. And we don't know quite when they will happen. So I like to urge everyone to have the most basic preparedness needs. Water and food and warmth. In a way, those are the most basic human needs. And we act on them according to what our own personal likes are or our own personal dislikes. What our climate is. What our budget is. And somehow we get to figure it all out and do the best we know how. There's plenty of people who understand this principle. Organizations do. When you get to a large company, they consider what could happen if there's a disaster coming along. And certainly our military people do. Our military people have said things happen. Oh, yes, and especially when there's war. When there is a war, all sorts of things happen. Do you know that it goes back thousands of years that it has been said, war is hell. Now, somewhat different words, but that has been a statement that has been stated many times throughout our thousands of years of history. And today, we are in a spiritual war. The enemy wants to steal from us our best things, destroy what is ever left, and then painfully kill us. That's what the enemy wants to do in this spiritual war. And we want to be prepared to fight that good fight and be victorious, victorious by and through Jesus Christ. Yep. Speaking of the military, I think of military tactics, and one of the things that has always been a military doctrine has been to destroy the supply line of your enemy and also destroy the will of your enemy to fight. Often that's been done by destroying the homeland of the soldiers and his loved ones. And today there is a destruction going on of the moral fiber of our families and our society and our country, and this has been going on for a long time. It happens slow, and sometimes it happens fast. But it's all a part of an enemy plan to destroy us. That's what's going on. So yeah, starve a people. Starve a people has always been a tactic. That's another good reason to have a food supply. Because people don't live very long without food, and starving people have a way of not being strong enough to resist. So, yeah, stay healthy. Have a supply of food. And none of us knows exactly what will happen in the future, but we know there's some really general principles, patterns of life, and we do well to try to understand what has gone on in the past, in history, and try to understand those patterns so that we can counter how the enemy wants to weaken us. We do not want to be hit hard. We don't want to be hit where we are weak. It's just so sensible to try and stay strong so we are not overpowered and beat down. And there are weaknesses going on in our society, that's for sure. You look at the morality of our nation is weak. The willpower of us to resist sin is weak. And the world food reserves, they are not strong either. So we just look at the things and try to make strong and correct individual decisions. And that spreads to our family, our neighbors, our community, and our country. We do want to be strong in the Lord. We do want to be strong practically. And there's so many weak points. One of the things I look at is our electrical grid is weak, and that concerns me. Oh, but I wonder sometimes if I talk too much about the preparedness basics, but I don't think so, because when you look at what people actually do, what they recognize, it takes a while for people to recognize a need that they might want to be prepared for. It certainly did for me. That happened to me. It took years for me to think about preparedness and having things happen in my life that were difficult. And then I got to realize, yes, let's have a few things. Let's have a first aid kit. Let's have a can of Fix-A-Flat in the car. Let's have a 55-gallon drum with grain in it. See, when things happen, you learn the lessons. But I hope that we can recognize the potential problems in front of us and see how easy it would be to counteract the problems just with a little preparedness. Plans. There are so many plans around if you want to look at them. So many companies have plans. So many agencies, government agencies have plans. You can look them up. You can see what you might want to do, what supplies you might want to have available. It's all pretty easy. You just have to look. Go ahead, have a look, see what you might want to do. It's a process, and it starts someplace with every one of us. We are all different, so we all have a different speed and a different desire for what we want to have on hand. Certainly, our budgets always make a difference, but I think every one of us can afford $20, and that's a place to start. You don't have to have $200, but $200 is good too. Maybe you have $50 a month that you put towards your preparedness items. And there's a few people who have $2,000. Good for you. And think about your neighbors when you're preparing, because, well, our neighbors will need help too. So, when you see the need, give it some thought and start making a plan. There are shortages that happen. Do you know that those few months ago, after that toilet paper shortage, so many people now want to have a supply of paper towels and toilet paper. At that same time when there was those shortages going on, there were plenty of people who recognized that the grocery store shelves were getting emptied, and there was a perceived need that we needed to have storable food. And so that made many store shelves empty too, when people were looking to stock up, and they did. And so many stores then had a limit on what food you could buy, how much of what you could buy. So now things are pretty much back to normal, and with there being no panic, now is the time to get what you need, to get what you want. It's a good time right now to think about all those things. What you want to have for your preparedness, where you want to put it, because everything takes up room, everything takes up space. You can put it in a closet, yes. You can put it under your bed. Yes, that's a good place. The garage is a good place too, especially if you have something that is insulating so that the heat stays out of your provisions. But we all have to think about this before we get involved and have a plan, and then stick to your plan to have so many provisions per month. That's a good idea. And seek out the different things, not just food. Well, there's so many individual choices. What does a person need? It depends on the event. So you have to try to understand what event you think is the most likely to happen. And then you make a plan. And then you make a plan for the different things that could happen. But I think that we always need the basics, which are water, food, and warmth. Everyone needs that. I talk about the need to prepare because as I've gone places, I've seen people have some really hard times, especially in foreign lands where you see people who are, well, often enough, they're on the street begging. You can see that their spirit is so downtrodden, they are hurt. And like me, I was in a number of foreign countries, and you see the people, but you can't talk to them because you're not fluent in their language. It would be so nice to reach out to them, and you reach out in whatever way you can. Yes, put some money in their hat. That's one thing that always goes on. But in life, people hurt. And in life, people help other people too. We want to be one of those people who help and not hurt. I talk about the need for being prepared because I've seen the people hurting in this country too. A lot of people go through hard times or they have natural disasters. We know how many people have been affected by fires in the last few years and the ones that are going on right now. Natural disasters happen, and that includes the other natural disasters that could happen. So your supplies can be used to give to people in need. Certainly food, water and food is a big one, but it might be a spare coat. It might be a blanket. Who knows what it will be? People have hard times in every country, including ours. Things happen to people, and then they get desperate. And desperate people do desperate things. They might be very weak from not having enough food, but they can still have a brief, very violent surge of energy. That's something we have to be aware of, too. What is going on around us? National Preparedness Month, right now, all this month, and hardly anybody in our nation is taking any extra steps to be prepared for that just-in-case situation. I hope you will. I hope you will talk to people about being prepared. Maybe it'll be your close group of friends. You don't have to tell them about what you're doing. But you can bring it up as a subject to make it be on their mind. So many people are saying the economy is not going to come back. That has been increasing over the last few months. And so our supplies will be helpful to give compassionate care to people. I've only heard of a couple of people who say the economy is going to bounce back. But they are, like I said, I think there's only been two, maybe three people. So many people are seeing just the difficulty coming upon this country anytime now, anytime. I think of what the authorities have done to shut down businesses, to shut in people in their homes, and I think the authorities have killed the goose that laid the golden egg, so to speak. Look around. You will see so many people who have no options. When they run out, they are desperate. They don't have any provisions or anything extra, no savings. And you can only imagine that people will be needing help. It might be your close family. It might be your distant family, or your friends, your neighbors, or even strangers. Your extra things will come in handy. Anyway, that's what I think. Our attitude can change when we see grieving people. Because there's so many people who just think about, I want to be prepared for me and my family. And if anybody needs anything, they're not going to get what I have because me and my family need it. That's the attitude that some people have. I don't mean I do, and I don't mean you do, but there's plenty of people who do. And give those people a chance to change, because when they see grieving people, suffering people, I hope their hearts change and they soften and want to be kind to the people who are hurting. Be compassionate and caring. And pray, pray, pray. Yes, praying has, God listens to prayer and he responds appropriately. And we don't know what appropriate is, but he does. He is the most loving God, so loving. And we, in the meanwhile, get to try to figure out things on earth, understand what's going on here and around us, exercise our discernment for staying out of trouble, and to make sure that we do not put ourselves at risk or our family at risk. And there are people you have to watch out for. There's some dangerous people out there in many senses of the word. And when society breaks down, the constraints that hold dangerous people or mentally ill people within bounds, the constraints are gone. The family breaks down, the authorities break down, and these people can be free. Now, there are not a lot of them, but there are a few. And we do have to watch out for the few people that there are who would really do bad things. Oh, I don't even want to talk about the badness. It can be too bad. I just want to say, be aware, pay attention, and be watchful, praying, be ready to prepare. I'm sorry, be ready to protect your family and the people around you, the innocent people. Okay. We want order in society, because that keeps us free and it keeps the bad people restrained. There's a lot of people who look forward to being evil. They want to steal, kill, and destroy. That's what they want to do. There are people who want to bring in the kingdom of darkness to the world. And that's this battle that's going on between the goodness of God and the evil of Satan. It's a spiritual battle, and there are people who want to steal, kill, and destroy every one of us. And so we have to protect ourselves by staying in God's will. It helps to know what God's will is, and that's why it helps to read the Bible. Yeah. Talk to people who are Christian people, strong Christian people, and try to get an understanding in that way too. Always use wise caution wherever you are. Even when you're helping people, use wise caution. I think of that Hurricane Katrina in New Orleans a few years back. But in other disasters too. But you did hear stories of a woman with a small baby would go up to a door and knock on the door asking for food. And when the concerned homeowner would open the door, there would be four or five men standing out of view, all ready to rush in. And they did. And they would take whatever they wanted. They would ransack the home. They could even harm the people who were there. It was awful. So my point is yes, be charitable. Yes, be kind and loving. But yes, be watchful. Yes, be cautious. Because all sorts of things happen in this world, in this life. Be careful. Be cautious. I think we want to turn from evil and turn towards God. And that's what we do. We ask God for protection, and we stay in the will of God. That's the other thing we do. Try to understand God's will and follow it completely. And that will make our whole world better, not just our lives, but our whole society. Everything would be better if we were to stay in God's will. And that means there's a lot of people that are going to have to change. And so be a force for change. Encourage people to seek God and His kingdom. That means if you have ungodly thoughts in your mind, you want to remove those thoughts from your mind. Command those thoughts out in Jesus' name. It's a process. It takes time to do. But we can clean up our mind and have godly thoughts in our mind. It takes a decision and it takes a commitment to only allow holy thoughts into your mind. But it can be done. Lots of people have done it. It can be an immediate happening also, where immediately you say the prayer and God cleanses your mind. We hear stories of that, or I certainly have. And there's people who it's a slow process for, and over months or years, you really can tell the difference in your mind and your thoughts. So we all have a different experience, and we all say yes, Lord, to all that He gives us. Guard your thoughts, definitely. Guard them. There's all kinds of things that can surprise you, and you still have to guard your thoughts that you don't, let them run, have too much concern in your mind. Just stay godly. I don't know why, I just thought of the governor of California, and I guess he has a current thing going on right now. Just days ago, like three, Governor Newsom signed an executive order that in 14 years would ban all gasoline-powered cars and trucks. I suppose the governor is feeling pretty powerful right now. After all, he makes an order and everybody does it. Wear your masks, California. That's the law. Well, it's a regulation, ordinance, but not quite law. At any rate, he feels pretty powerful. Doubtless he does. And so he made that executive order. In 14 years, all gasoline-powered cars and trucks will be no more. Interest. That's by 2035. Well, I wonder what will happen. I wonder if people are going to conform to it. We have a society where people are conforming to lots of things, and we get to figure out if it's right or not, just like we get to figure out, is it right that the governor orders everyone to wear their masks? Apparently it is, because everyone is agreeing. What would God say? Obey the powers, like in Romans 13? Or would He say, worship God? And there's so many churches that are closed right now. Oh, the churches everywhere are closing. And this is one of those things. Maybe you've heard of that church of John MacArthur, Grace Community Church. A couple of weeks ago, he suggested that the corona COVID virus was not as serious as it was presented, and that the church restrictions would soon be lifted because it was not a problem. Not hardly anymore. It was not an epidemic. But he was... the government came back to John MacArthur and gave him a list of things to do. And I wrote that down because it was so interesting. Here it is. If John MacArthur wants to open up his Grace Community Church again, this is what he must do. That there would be no indoor services at all. That there would be pre-registration of all people coming onto church property. That people would be only allowed onto church property for scheduled events. That every person who comes onto church property has to be screened and have their temperature taken at the entry. All people must maintain 6 feet of social distancing at all times, including in the parking lot and the restrooms. And every other parking spot must be kept vacant. All pathways must be marked so that they will maintain social distancing. People must be kept apart by staff monitoring. And everyone must always wear a mask. Restroom monitors must be there to control people to stay 6 feet apart. Restroom tape on the ground to mark the correct social distancing. And signs must be put up indicating these mandates. And restrooms are to be used during the services instead of after the services to minimize the rush. And there would be no hymn books, no communion, no offering containers, no pew Bibles, no singing, no hugging, no shaking of hands. And the pew seat covers must be disposable and changed between services. And all services must be shortened. So this is the kind of things that, are they coming? Is this going to be the next step for what government enforcement does to reduce the meetings of all sizes and churches, and that they only be done outside? Well, these kind of requirements are going to shut down quite a few churches. We don't quite know what will happen in the future, but we can see the direction. And I just thought of another one. If anybody has contact with someone outside of their family for more than 15 minutes, they must self-quarantine for 2 weeks. That was another requirement. So, what are we going to do? Are we going to go back to our constitutional rights and freedoms, the liberties that we have in our Constitution, the Bill of Rights? Well, I think we had sure better watch over this, because what happens in John MacArthur's church, a big church like that, could happen to any church, or in fact, to any public gathering. And we have to look at, what do we want to live in? What kind of a society is it going to be? Are you going to just continue to say, yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, Mr. Authority? I don't mean I have an answer, because I'm sure there's some things which we do want to say yes, definitely, to. And we do want to acknowledge the Romans 13 authority of government. But we also want to recognize the strength behind behind God's requirement to meet and worship Him. And that was the big thing for the plagues in ancient Egypt, because there were restrictions that Pharaoh put on the people of God, the Hebrew people. And so the Hebrew people, Moses, kept asking Pharaoh to let his people be free to worship God. And Pharaoh said no. And then the plagues came upon the country until there was the Exodus. Will that be something that happens here? I don't know. Are we going to stand up and say we need to worship God? I don't know. But it's something to certainly pay attention to what could be going on and think about it in advance, so that you have an idea what you might want to do to comply or to worship God. There's quite a few churches who say, we will worship God and we will sing and have face masks optional. There are churches like that, and I say God bless you, because we want to have the liberty that is guaranteed in our Constitution. We want to have liberty anyway, don't we? Look at the people who want to have that freedom. I don't quite know what to say about it, but I know that it might be coming to a point of discussion and a point of decision on what you will do. Because we just don't know how restrictive it could get. I certainly think of one of the things that it could get restricted to is, are you going to take that chip? That chip would be required just as much as the masks. I know, not a great comparison. It's not. But it's something that still is a comparison because it would be required under the law. Well, I ask you to seek these things. Seek understanding. Try to figure out where you settle into for your position, because we can be sure that we're going to have to make a decision in life. Do we stand for God and his worship, or do we stand for the Constitution and the freedoms in that, or do we stand with the necessity of doing what wise people tell us to do? You know, those wise government people. Well, a lot of them are wise, and a lot of them are just, well, they're bullies. And which one is which? It's kind of hard when you start that down that path. But I do urge everyone to look at it, just as I urge everyone to look at the things that we may face. To me, I think that there could be some really big things coming, like a dollar collapse. I think that is very possible. And what do we do about that? Hyperinflation? And what happens when all the businesses die because people don't have enough certainty to have employees in their businesses or to accept money that won't be good because inflation is so bad? A massive earthquake is another possibility. We have the earthquake faults of New Madrid and the Cascadia subduction zone. Those are overdue. We have the possibility of an EMP or a CME, electromagnetic pulse or coronal mass ejection that would fry all of our electrical grid. And it would take years to get it back to halfway normal. I mean, we're looking at 5 years for sure. At any rate, there are things which we just have to think, realize are possibilities and think about what we would do for the just in case. Always have some things in your home for the just in case. And that includes Bibles and hymnals, because the good news of the gospel is always something that we will want to share with people. And a Bible is helpful to learn about the nature of God. So by all means, look at these things, have your provisions, and think. Remember the good news of the gospel. And if you want to listen to this or any other broadcast of Christ Today, by all means, go to the website www.christtoday.org. That's all lowercase and no spaces. And for a free copy of my preparedness brochure, send a stamped self-addressed envelope to me, John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. May you walk with God, and may God walk with you.